Our scripture is Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. You can find that on page 60 of the New Testament Pew Bible, or you can follow on the screen. Jesus speaks about his suffering and death. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later he will rise to life." He made this very clear to them. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned around, looked at his disciples, and rebuked Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "Your thoughts don't come from God, but from human nature." Then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. "If any of you want to come with me," he told them, "you must forget yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. For if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me and for the gospel, you will save it. Do you gain anything if you win the whole world but lose your life? Of course not. There is nothing you can give to regain your life. If you are ashamed of me and of my teaching in this godless and wicked day, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For supporting the Gideons. A man can't be a Gideon unless he has the support and recommendation of his pastor. So it starts there. And we wouldn't have a Gideon ministry without people that give money for the Bibles. Because every penny that you give goes to the Bibles. Gideons pay their own expenses, whatever that is. And I don't know how big a word I should use. I may not understand it myself. But when we say indigenous, that means that's where you live. So Gideons, wherever they live, that's where they are doing ministry. We don't have to leave our job. We don't have to leave our country. We don't have to learn a new language. Not to be a Gideon, at least. God is, as he plants people, and one person plants, another person waters, God gives the increase. All of us working together is why this ministry is reaching souls for the gospel. God says in Isaiah, he told us, Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So that's his promise, so it doesn't depend on us. Thank you, Jesus. I love Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who's at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." Because as a child, I was talking to the pastor before the service, at age 10, I accepted Christ as my Savior. It wasn't until age 20 when I surrendered my life to him and gave control of my life and said, I'm willing to allow you to be Lord in my life. Because you can be, Savior, but not Lord, it doesn't work that way. God never made that deal to anyone. So if you're in that position where you're you want fire insurance, but you really don't want someone controlling your life, then I would urge you to talk to your pastor, because I know he feels as I do, that if he isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so now I'm not allowed to preach. I just give testimonies. And by the way, what time did you want me to close? He said 1 o'clock, is that right? No. Oh, one? Oh, that's good. Oh, what time, really? You usually go to? Okay. I told him I was speaking in Mexico. I believe I told him that. I get a chance to go to other countries, but most Gideons just minister where they live. And we place Bibles, and that's what you're probably most familiar with. I don't need to speak on all these different places where we put God's word on your behalf, and because of you, we're able to do this, and only because that you give. But you're probably most familiar with the full Bible in motels and hotels. And I will tell you, there are some hotel chains that during COVID, they took the Bibles out of the rooms, and some of them have yet to put them all back into every room, but they have them at the front desk. And if you're in a room in a hotel and you don't see a Bible, please call the front desk. And even if they're not, and this happens to us because we go to the hotels every 6 months in our camp. A local group of Gideons is called a camp. and I'm in Berks County, or they say Berks County, but we are in the hotels every 6 months, and we check to make sure there's a Bible in every room. And some of the hotels, again, they put them at the front desk, so when you ask, they should always have a Bible for you. When I joined the Gideons, it was a few years ago, 1977, and I was unfamiliar with who the Gideons were. I thought there was a King James Bible and maybe Revised Standard Bible and then the Gideon Bible. I saw that picture. And it is a picture, not a picture, but it represents the story of Gideon and how God used him to overcome a huge army with only a few men. So I didn't know much about the Gideons, but when my pastor asked me if I would go to a dinner, it was for men who are sold out to the Lord and are in business or a professional person, and I was managing a grocery store at the time. So he gave him my name. He said, you don't have to go, but I gave them your name, so you might get a call from them. So they invited me to a dinner. It was much like the dinner that Pastor and Charlene got to attend on Friday night. And I heard about the Gideon ministry, and I thought, anyone who's qualified to be a Gideon, why would you not be a Gideon? All it is, I mean, you're just putting God's word wherever you go. And that's what we're known for, is placing God's word. But as we were reminded this weekend again and again, and they even gave us a thing to put around our wrists, the gospel is our mission. It's not to place Bibles. We do that because that's where people, in the traffic lanes of life, we put Bibles out there. And I'll cover a few of the areas where we do and why we do that. But the gospel is our mission. And the gospel, the word gospel, was rarely used before the time of Christ. And it means not just good news, which we know gospel means good news. It means almost too good to be true good news. Now, who would pay for your sins? I mean, the word says that for a righteous man, some might die. But God died for us before we were never really worthy, but before we even loved him or turned our attention to him, he was willing to die for us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance. And if you watch any NFL football games behind the end zone, you might see John 3:16. Most people know that. God so loved the whole world. Now, the whole world doesn't love him, and yet he says he loves the whole world. So when I joined the Gideons, again, I didn't know much about them. They give us training where to place the Bibles. I went into a little hotel that had 12 rooms. It was Lamy's Tavern in Northampton, New Hampshire, and we put Bibles in every room, and it was, I think, a year later before we got back there. They hadn't had a Gideon camp in that area for many years, so there was only four of us, and so we were busy. But we were back there within a year, and I opened up the back of one of those Bibles. You can see it's a blank inside the cover. It's blank. And someone had written this, to whom it may concern. This is a copy of the letter. I just took a picture of that Bible. And it says, to whom it may concern, I rented this room with the thought of killing myself, but this Bible saved my life. And then she wrote Proverbs, page 696. Pregnant by another man, I have a loving husband, yet I was unfaithful. So foolish, so young. We all have problems. I just called my husband. He knows and forgave. Sign me grateful. This book is blessed. And she wrote a few verses down there that she was reading and that impacted her life. So even if I had never saw any more fruit directly from placing God's word, I was hooked. I was going to be a Gideon for life. And God says that none of the copies of his word will return void. Every one that we place, God will use in one way or another. Gideons, I said they're Christian business and professional men. I know you're familiar with the Gideons, who are now in almost 200 countries, and sometimes we add a new country, so it's 199 countries right now where we place God's word. And And it's an extended missionary arm of your church. So if you think, you mentioned the missionaries that you pray for, that your church supports, but you have missionaries in 199 countries through the Gideon ministry. And a Bible in a hotel room, at least in the United States, based on occupancy rates, one Bible has a useful life of around 6 years, and it will reach, on average, 2,300 people with the gospel. So if you were to give a Bible, and I know it's in your bulletin, $5 for a Bible, and I forget, the testaments when I joined were like a dollar each. Now they're more like $1.80, whether it's inflation or cost of printing or whatever. But what your donations pay for are the Bibles and testaments. All the other expenses of delivery and putting them in the hotels and standing outside a high school and handing out testaments, etc., those are all paid for by the Gideons themselves. All their expenses are paid for by the Gideons. We used to be able to go right into school rooms, and in some places, even in the United States, we can still go right into the classrooms. But here, mostly, I'm from Berks County. There are very few schools, except Mennonite schools, where we're allowed to go right into the classrooms. But we do have a constitutional right to stand on the sidewalk. And in 1982, Gideon started handing out orange testaments, stand outside of school as kids are dismissed for the day. You can hand out testaments. I was standing outside Morristown, New Jersey High School, and we would hand out maybe 300 every year as kids leave school. But we were in position, we had Gideons at every corner around the school as kids leave, because if you don't believe, I told the pastor, if you don't believe in life after death, stand outside a high school or a junior high when the final bell rings and you'll get run right over by these kids. But just before the school was going to end, the fire alarm went off. So all the kids, by law, had to come out of the school. They were not allowed to leave to go home until the building was checked and cleared, and then they all had to go back into the school to be released. So we had about 40 minutes with probably around 1,100 students, all got a copy of God's Word, and the building was cleared and they were told to go back in, one of these kids started to walk away from me, and they turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Did you guys pull the fire alarm?" You know, no, we didn't pull the fire alarm, but I know who arranged it. God says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. He never said all things are good, but he said all things work together for good. And so we got a great opportunity to give more testaments out than we had in any preceding year. And we know that none of those are going to return void. We also go into nursing homes and hospitals. And I was on a distribution in New Jersey. You say, well, you're talking about New Jersey, you're talking about... God has blessed me with a lot of opportunities to go to different places. In my corporate career, I moved 8 times in 11 years. So... people would ask me when they saw me at a Gideon convention, "Where do you live now?" I live in the state of confusion, same as always. But I moved a lot and got a lot of opportunities to go to different places. But I was at the Palisades Nursing Home, which is right along the river the Hudson River that separates New Jersey from New York. And along that strip, they let us to go to all the hotels, and the people running the hotel would be behind bulletproof glass, and they would shove the keys out under this little dish and say, take the keys, go to every room. Nobody needs the Bibles like these guys. They rented rooms by the hour. I mean, I came from a small farm community up near Erie, Pennsylvania, and I was not used to that kind of lifestyle. So we put Bibles in all the rooms, but we also went into nursing homes, and I was in Palisades Nursing Home. We got there about lunchtime, and the director said, "Well, you know, we're doing lunch right now, so either you could come back, or you could have lunch with me if you'd like, and then when lunch is over, you could go to all the rooms." Well, we don't often get a chance to spend time with directors, so we said, "Well, we'll stay for lunch." And during the conversation over lunch, we asked, you know, how old is your oldest resident? And I think the person that she mentioned was like 102 years old. And just out of curiosity, I said, how old is your youngest resident? And she said, well, Ronaldo is 24. I thought, 24? What's he doing in a nursing home? She said, oh, he's been here since he was 16. If you ever listen to Paul Harvey, you know the rest of the story, how he always said the rest of the story. Well, the four kids, one of them just got his driver's license. They're in a car. There was an accident. Three of them were killed. Ronaldo is in a coma, and he'd been in a coma for 8 years. So he was lying there, and the person I was with, another new Gideon, actually, Alan Perello, says, well, would you mind if we go down and see him? Because, I mean, he's not eating lunch. I mean, they actually had him on life support for all those years. So it wasn't going to bother his lunch. She said, I'll take you down there, but you're wasting your time because we don't know if he hears anything. We've never seen any sign of life out of this young man for 8 years. His mother comes and reads to him every day, but she's never seen him blink or anything. So we said, well, you know, the churches love him and God loves him and we want him to know that God loves him. So she said, I'll take you down there. So we went down and Alan sits down next to Ronaldo and said, Ronaldo, God loves you. The churches in the area love you and they bought you a Bible so you can read about God's love for you and that all your sins can be paid for, etc. I just gave him a short version of the gospel. Said, would you like to have Jesus into your life? And tears started coming down this man's face. And the director was stunned. She said, we didn't know he could hear at all. And in the book of Jonah, I think it's chapter 2, verse 8, it says, even in the depths of the sea with weeds wrapped around my head, even there your word reached me. That isn't the end of the story. Alan went back that night and led Ronaldo's mother to the Lord because now she knew her boy could actually hear. And that's not the end of the story. He actually led Ronaldo's dad and his two brothers to the Lord as well. But over the course of the next couple months, Ronaldo completely recovered, got out of the bed after 8 years in a coma, and was able to go home to his family. So God's word, Pastor mentioned earlier with the kids, it's quick and powerful. It's alive. Hebrews 8:12, is it what I'm thinking? 4:12? I'm trying to think two things at once, and that's not always easy for me. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, it actually reached Ronaldo even in a coma. We also go to colleges, and on college campuses, usually we're allowed to stand at various places on college campuses. I lived for 7 years in South Portland, Maine, and we were at SMVTI, which is Southern Maine Vocational Technical Institute. And it's right on the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. I think it was in January, and it was very cold. So they invited us to come into the cafeteria and stand there and hand out testaments to any student that would like one. We were there for a little over an hour during the lunchtime. And then after all the students had gone back to class, we went around. Some testaments had been left. I mean, they took them. They didn't know what they were. And then they said, oh, maybe I don't want this. So we were picking up any loose testaments that were left behind. And one of the cafeteria workers came out from behind the counter and came over to me and said, I am so glad you guys are here. This was, again, January. And she said her son had left for college September before that, just 4 months earlier, had never professed faith in Christ, and they were praying for him. They took him to church. They didn't send him to church. They took him to church, but he never professed faith in Christ, and so she was concerned about him, obviously. He was killed in an accident coming home for a Thanksgiving break and a car accident, and the college had packed all his stuff into a trunk and sent it home to her, but she just couldn't face it. So she hadn't opened it up until January after the holidays. She said, okay, I gotta give his clothes away to somebody else that can use them, etc. In that trunk was a Gideon Testament. And she opened it up, and in the front it said presented to, and it had a date back in September, presented to him. And then as she leafed through the Testament, she saw he had marked, underlined several verses and written comments there. And she got to the back, and it has my name. And on October 20th, he had received Christ as his Savior. So she called his roommate and said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, the Gideons were here, and they handed out testaments. And your son, yeah, he did. And he was got involved in a Bible study. He was really excited about his newfound faith. But he didn't want to call you and tell you. He was going to tell you when he got home for Thanksgiving break. But he was killed on the way home." So she would never have known that he had accepted Christ. So while she was lamenting the fact that she didn't know that, now she had this testament, which at the time cost about $1.25, but to her it was priceless, because now she knew she would see her son and get to spend eternity together, which is our promise. It's God's promise to us. Our wives are auxiliary members. They go with us on college distributions now. They have their own areas of distribution, like hospitals and nursing homes. They give all the testaments out to people that have that work in the hospitals and dentist offices, et cetera. So, and they also do women's prisons. And so I like to say we run on auxiliary power. I mean, I was telling Pastor, I have a ministry in Haiti that my family started in 2001. So we have orphanages and churches in Haiti that and schools that we support. And where was I going with that? Sorry, runaway train. I lost my train of thought there. But the auxiliary, in Haiti, we often don't have electricity. So without that generator, that auxiliary power, you can't even have church. You know, you go to church and the first thing to do is start up a generator, and then about 50 people go and hook their phones up to it to get them recharged because they don't have electricity at home. So auxiliary power is very important to us. We used to say the auxiliary on their knees praying kept the Gideons on their feet. But our wives are very supportive and very important to this ministry. We also go into the military, and I was in Mexico it was an extension action trip. So for 2 weeks we were in Mexico training the local Gideons in Mexico the right way to do things, so that when we speak in a church, we're in 199 countries right now. When I say this is what Gideons do, I can say that with confidence because we train them what we do. So we do the same thing in every country. It's not like whatever you want to do or however you want to hand them out. This is your money and that's paid for these testaments. So as stewards of that money, that's why we have business and professional men to be Gideons, because we're stewards of that. And on your behalf, we place these Bibles, but it's because of you that we even have this ministry. Well, I was asked to stand outside a military installation. They said there's no guns there, there's no armament, whatever. It's just offices. Okay. So they gave me a box of 100 testaments, and they come in packs of five, and they're wrapped with a paper wrap. And so I'm standing outside, and as men were coming in one at a time to work, it was still dark, and they gave me a wide berth. They walked around me because they didn't know why I was there or what I was doing. And it was still dark. But about 7 o'clock, starting to get light, and I hear Reveille. Isn't that the one that they wake up to in the morning with a trumpet? Anyway, trumpet's playing. The gates swing open wide, and this military transport comes rolling out with probably 20 guys in the back of the truck, all with arms, you know, all carrying rifles and stuff. And I thought, okay, somebody didn't have the right information. And they got to me, and I was standing there with these testaments, and the truck stopped. The driver wanted one, and he had another person in the cabin, so I gave him one. The guys in the back were like, "Hey, what about us?" And I couldn't do it that fast because the truck's pulling away, so I reached into the box, and I'm throwing these five packs of testaments into the back, and I was afraid I might get shot. They might think I'm throwing, because another truck was coming out behind, and they might have thought I was throwing C4 or something into the truck. But the second truck stopped, and they also got testaments. When we distribute, we don't often get to give a word of testimony, But when we carry, and we're encouraged, actually I'm encouraged to carry two at all times, we call these personal workers' testaments. We buy these with our own money. Gideon's and auxiliary pay for them themselves, and we hand them out wherever we are, whenever we are, whenever we have opportunities. Like in New York Bagelry, I was there last week for breakfast after Bible study, and the girl waiting on us got one this weekend. I think I must have handed out at least 12 to hotel staff, and we went downtown. My wife and I went downtown Harrisburg and went to the bus stop there on, I forget what street that is, but in the Capital District there. And people sitting at a bus stop, you got a good opportunity to hand out testaments, so we were able to hand out quite a few there. And my wife is quite the prayer warrior, and she is fearless as far as handing things out. Where else? We're in other countries. We had Gideon handing out testaments in Krishnev, which was formerly part of the Soviet Union. They were handing out testaments, and they noticed a policeman across the street waving the testament that he had gotten the day before at barracks. He was waving it in the face of people that he stopped, and the Gideons were there for a couple hours handing out testaments to college students and people walking by. Afterwards, they went over and they talked to the policeman, and they said, "We've seen you waving your testament in the face of these drivers. What's going on?" And he said, "Well, when I stop somebody now," I said, "I've been reading this." He said, "I think if everyone lived by the words that are in here, we would have a better country. So when I stop someone now and I tell them they need to read the Bible, if they agree with me, I let them go with a warning. But if they don't, I give them a fine." And so, I mean, even a new Christian like that, you know, they know the power of God's word. We go into prisons. I have a prison ministry as well here in Berks County. We have a Berks County, they call it jail system now. They no longer call it a prison, but guys are there for not more than 2 years. If it's going to be a sentence longer than that, they have to go to upstate. But we go in every Wednesday and talk to the men individually that come up to the chapel. But we also have the first service of every month to bring a message and explain and give them Gideon testaments, etc. We have a good arrangement with Berks County jail system that every person with it, we provide the testaments, but every person, man or woman, being processed in is offered a testament as they come in. And if you know or have seen a Gideon testament, you know that in the front are helps, where to find help when. And when I hand a testament to somebody, if I get a chance to do that, I usually say something like, "You probably don't have stress in your life, but I do," and they just laugh. Well, there's, if you have stress, if you're afraid, if you're leaving home, if you wonder what the Bible says about various topics, there's two or three pages of different topics, and not just a scripture verse, because most people wouldn't know where to go to get Corinthians, but if it says page 310, they can get there, and so it's very helpful. And then in the back, and I often tell them this, there's GPS in the back. And they look at me like, "GPS in a testament? What's that?" I said, "It's God's plan of salvation. It tells you exactly how to get to heaven, so you know exactly." And it's just a few verses to walk them through that God loves the world, but we're all sinners, but God made a way, and it's in his Son. He said that there's no other name given under heaven given whereby we must be saved. And 14:6, John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So you may say, how can we help? You know, and you've been supporting the Gideons for years, Pastor says, and that's wonderful. There is we call it Gideon card display in your foyer that has cards like in memory of someone who's passed away, has an in recognition, thinking of you. We also have birthday cards, etc., where you can place Bibles in honor or in memory of someone. And then in your bulletin today, there is a tear-off. If you aren't prepared, you'd like to give, but you say, I don't have money with me or a check or whatever. There's an envelope in your bulletin, and you can put a gift in there if you would like. I see Pastor has a basket at the back, and it has a sign on it for Gideon's. When you give money, every cent goes for the purchase of the scriptures because we pay our own expenses. There's also a life book, and I think Pastor said you're aware of that as well. We arm your young people. Like I said, we can't go into many schools. You know, we can stand outside, but your students go into those schools, and they're allowed to carry these life books, and they're provided free by the Gideons. And it's a gospel, one of the gospels, either John or we have Mark as well. I'm preferring to Mark because that's my name. Mark 1:17, Jesus said unto his disciples, "Come ye after me, I'll make you to become fishers of men." There's a process involved. And many of us are not equipped to share the gospel. Many of us feel I need more boldness. And I was asking for that. Even after 52 years of walking with the Lord, I realized there's some people that I look at and they don't look receptive. I might walk by them. And God laid on my heart, "Mark, you just made the decision for them. You don't have that right. You know, go ahead and offer them the testament. What are you worried about? I mean, they're not going to reject you, or even if they did, so what? But they can only reject me. You're not asking for anything for me." But I asked them for more boldness because I know there are opportunities that I miss. And he spoke to my spirit. I don't hear voices, at least not yet. But I get a strong impression from the Lord. He said, "You don't need more boldness, Mark. You need more love. If you really love that person, how could you let them go on without giving them the opportunity to know what you know and to be rescued from an end that nobody wants? Life with Christ is an endless hope. Without him is a hopeless end. And eternity is an awful long time. So I thank you again for supporting the Gideon Ministry. Thank you. Without your support, I wouldn't have any ammunition, you know. God uses us as a team together, and it is a joint ministry. We're just an extended missionary arm of your church, and I'm glad to meet some of you individually today. Even before I knew you, we were working together as a team, so thank you again for inviting me.